died soon after that. But it was quite an interesting place to be because we could dash right out. And for lunch, we would go to the different buildings. Department of the Interior had a very good lunchroom, and we used to just cross Constitution mm-hmm. Avenue and go to that. And we went to the different buildings, but that was our favorite. So. Uh-huh.
But these temporary buildings, were they wooden or...?
Wooden, yes. These were wooden. And they were on the grounds of the Washington Memorial, as I remember it, mm-hmm. Right near the pool, reflecting pool.
I see.
Uh-huh.
And what were they, were about the size of houses or something like that? Were they connected?
Little larger houses.
Uh-huh.
They were connected in some way. Mm-hmm. I've forgotten some of that, but they were like large, kind of square
uh-huh.
houses. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you were working in the legal department. So you worked for attorneys the whole time, working on the acquisition of ships and contracts and drawing up the contracts.
And we met. I had a chance to meet several people, like from Electric Boat Company. We had mm-hmm. a contract with them, Bethlehem Steel, and Bethlehem Steel had built my husband's destroyer. So he was the man we worked with was able to get me pictures.
Oh, how wonderful!
of his destroyer, the Colahan DD-5658, and But that made it very interesting because we did meet the men from all these big companies and who had built mm-hmm. these ships.
What was the reaction at the Navy Department and within your area and in Washington itself on VE Day?
Oh, it was marvelous. It was wonderful. But, of course, VE Day was Europe.
I know.
And we were still in the Pacific.
That's why I was going to ask you about both.
And the lights came on back in Washington after VE Day. That was thrilling. And but we were still in the Pacific, so it was still hard for
so
me.
So that's mm-hmm. right, because mm-hmm. your husband was still in the Pacific.
Was still in the Pacific.
So there was just kind of like a brief celebration, a little gaiety, but then it was back to business.
Well, it was quite a big celebration, really, because there were so many who had been in Europe, and,
mm-hmm.
and it was so wonderful for them. But it was held back. There was still a lot of anxiety and grief
right.
with it. But
what was the reaction in VJ Day?
Well, VJ Day, that was quite different, yes. That was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And
could you describe some of the celebrations or things like that? Can you remember anything in specific?
Well, I don't remember a great deal because, of course, my husband wasn't home
mm-hmm.
then yet. They were still over in Tokyo cleaning up
right.
things over there. And he has his ship. He had left the destroyer and was assistant flag secretary for Admiral Raymond Spruance on the New Jersey. They were going to be, the New Jersey they took after the Indianapolis was sunk. They were going to, Admiral Spruance was going to have the Indianapolis for his flagship. And my husband was aboard it the night before it left Guam, assigning staterooms for the different staff mm-hmm. of Admiral Spruance. And then it was quite a shock when the Indianapolis was sunk. And, of course, they didn't know it for a week.
Oh.
Didn't realize it for a week. It was a horrible, horrible thing. So, anyway, but Bob, my husband, was in Guam then for a while, and then Admiral Spruance took the New Jersey as his flagship, and so he was aboard mm-hmm. that, and they went into Yokosuka, Japan, and on into Tokyo.
Did you have any inkling during your work that we were about to drop the atomic bomb or anything like that?
No idea at all.
Did you have a feeling that everybody there was as surprised as you?
Yes. Now, I was not there. I was not in Washington at the time it was dropped because Bob happened to be on 2 weeks' leave. They were giving everybody leave who hadn't been home in 18 months because they were planning the invasion of Tokyo.
Mm-hmm.
And so he happened to be at home on leave when the bombs were dropped. And, of course, we were exceedingly happy.
Right.
He still had to go back, but it meant the fighting was over.
Yes.
So it was quite a different thing. And then I went back to Washington, too, and it was quite a different feeling.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. After, once the war was over,
mm-hmm.
What was the difference in the attitude and in your job?
Well, I actually left Washington in February of 46. The war was over in 45.
August of 45, yeah.
Uh-huh. And I had stayed on there. It was more of a mopping up type thing. It was, everybody was ready to get home at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Just very anxious to get it all over and done with and get home. So that, and things were winding down so that they didn't need all the help and they let us go. And so I left in February and Bob came back in February, in the last of January, first of February. So I left Washington when he came home.
Okay, and where did you settle?
Well, at that point, we had to go back to Cambridge and finish law school.
Oh, that's true. I forgot about that.
He still had another semester to do, but he had taken courses in Washington at George Washington and Georgetown, and then taking the Harvard exams, and so they allowed those.
Mm-hmm.
There was just one course he couldn't get, so he had to go back for that. And we thought at the time, too bad, but we had such a wonderful time afterwards that we were glad he had to go back, because everybody was coming home then,
mm-hmm.
and all his friends were back there, so I got to meet all of them, and it was quite a nice time. It was a good time. And then in July, he went to work at Sullivan & Cromwell in New York City.
Where?
At Sullivan & Cromwell.
Oh, okay.
One of the big law firms in New York City.
Uh-huh.
And
that's
one of the higher-ups in Sullivan & Cromwell, Mr. Fauché, had been in the Navy Department with Bob. He was one of them that he had worked with. And so that was very nice. And he had told Bob when the war was over, come see him. So
wonderful.
Yes.
How did you ever get then to Amelia Island? And and how long have you been here?
It's a long story. I've been here 9 years, but after Bob went to work in New York City, we had an apartment in Brooklyn Heights,
mm-hmm.
which we loved. And watched the Brooklyn Queens Expressway being built. And we had two little boys born, one while we lived on Willow Street in the fourth floor walk-up.
Mm-hmm.
And every morning when Bob went to work, took the subway to work, he would take the carriage down and chain it to the barbed wire fence that front. And then I'd get ready to take him out for his walk, so I would go down first, leave him in the crib, go down and fix the carriage, get cleaned out, and then I would go back up and get him. Then we'd go for our walk, come back home and take him upstairs, put him in the crib, come back and get the groceries and take them up. Then when Bob came home at night, he'd bring the carriage up. So quite a routine, and you have to be young to do it.
Right. was Bob alive when you moved here?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. So we lived from Brooklyn Heights. We moved. We lived from the fourth floor walk-up in Brooklyn Heights. We moved to a building with an elevator. And that's when the second son was born.
Mm-hmm.
and that was right on the East River. And our fourth floor walk up, when you got up there, you had a magnificent view of the whole New York Harbor and the Statue of Liberty. It was beautiful, but it was hard getting to it. And then we moved to the building with the elevator and were there several years. And then we moved to I'm trying to think where we went from there.
Okay, let's pause. Right.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, go.
Okay, so you and your husband lived in New York, and he practiced law in New York, and eventually you moved to Long Island.
We moved to Long Island.
And then
place
after...
called Manhasset. Actually, we lived in Plandome, which is a part of Manhasset, on the water.
Mm-hmm. Oh, neat. And then after he died, you had a friend who told you about Amelia Island? Is that what happened?
That's right. Adelaide Bagley. We had been friends for a long time. My husband and I had met her husband and herself while vacationing in Bermuda. And we both happened to stay at the same place at the same time. We had a lot of rain that week, so we ran around in the rain together and got to be good friends. She lived in Connecticut. Her husband worked in the city. And our husbands saw each other after that. And her husband died very early in life. And then she... remarried. But anyway, her daughter worked in Jacksonville and told her about Amelia Island. And after my husband died, she was after me to come and look at Amelia Island. And I'm so glad I did.
Have you gotten involved in any of the activities here on the island or anything like that?
Well, yes, and we have a group we call the Girls, which are all about my age. And all widows, and we have a very good time together. We go to the Plantation Chapel, and afterwards we always meet for brunch at the POC, solve all the world's problems.
The POC is the Property Owners Club?
That's right. And solve all the world's problems and have a great time together.
Can I send a telegram? Well, do you have anything else that you'd like to add to the interview? Anything else that you can think of particularly memorable during the years of World War II in Washington?
Well, there's one thing before the war.
Okay.
While I was living there. My roommate, Mary Lee, and I wanted to see the president lay the wreath on the tomb of the unknown soldier. So we got up early that morning and got a cab. And, of course, we were in a horrible traffic line. And the cab driver said, "We're never going to make it across the bridge to the cemetery in time." He said, "Why don't we park right here on Constitution Avenue, right near our War Department building, and we'll listen to it on the radio on the car, and then when he comes by, we'll get out and look." So that's what we did. This was a very nice young man, a young student from California, and he had a bag of apples, so we ate his apples while waiting for the president to do his speech. And then on the way back, we got outside of the cab, and President Roosevelt was in his open touring car, and we could have reached out. We got outside and stood in the street.
Nope.
We could have reached out and touched him.
What year was that?
That was 41.
41.
But before Pearl Harbor.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That was, November 11th of 41.
Right, yeah.
And... that was very thrilling.
Yes.
I remind my boys of it every Armistice Day. They say, "We know, Mom, we know." But it was quite thrilling because he tipped his top hat to us.
Oh, neat.
And smiled broadly. And, of course, we were right there. There was nobody in front of us, so we knew he was tipping it to us.
Wow.
So that was fun. And... We girls had a great time there, and we did a lot together, and lots of sightseeing, and we took an airplane trip, and
wow.
And I guess this was just before the war, and we came to New York, from Washington to New York, and that was quite exciting.
That was very progressive.
That was quite exciting in those days. I think we had to take the train back. It seems we couldn't afford but one way on the plane. But we did get to fly up here, up to New York. And so that was quite thrilling. We had very good times together, and we became all very good friends. And one of the girls, Pat, got married, and we were about the only ones at her wedding, and it was quite thrilling, but it was her husband who had told us about the jobs in the Navy Department.
Mm-hmm.
And which we enjoyed very much, and of course, which meant I met my Bob. So we had very good times together. It was quite a thrilling time. It was a rough time. It was very hard because they would announce in the Navy Department or the lab speaker all the naval battles and what had been lost and all, and they'd usually add, but we can't say which they were because the next of kin had not been notified. So that was rough. But then they would, someone in the Navy Department would help me and tell me what ship it was not. They couldn't tell you what it was, but they could tell you what it was not, which at that point was what I wanted was most interested
yes,
in.
Right.
Yes. So we had some very, very nice times there.
Okay.
And I would...
Yeah, well, I want to thank you for sharing your recollections with us and telling us about these wonderful, wonderful experiences. And it was just an exciting time and a time when all of America was pulling together.
It was. It was very gratifying to see that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, this concludes our interview with Frances McDowell. I want to thank you very, very much.
Thank you. Enjoy.
Yeah.